Before we begin the lesson this morning, I'd like us to just take a minute and bow our heads and like to lead us in prayer. Father, as your children we meet today, as been already said, we rejoice in the things that matter most in your love for us through Jesus. We ask, Father, that you give us eyes. That are open to see you. That you give us ears, Father, that are open to hear what you desire. And hearts that are soft and ready to serve. Father, we as a family want more than just involvement. We want hearts that are close to you because we know that's what you desire. We want hearts that are in tune to you. We really struggle with that. We don't want hearts that are far from you. We want hearts that are near you. We don't want to be a people that just give you lip service. We want to give you service from our hearts. And Father, as a congregation this year, we ask you to guide us in these things. And we all pray together in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Well, 2020. And I would guess that probably if we could live stream all of the worship settings or services in America, they'd be pretty similar, right? As you would look at the time of year that it is, the changing of the year, the topic, the themes, the vision, the look at the new year and the focus of a new year. And we are, as we do every year, going to begin, turn a new chapter with a new vision. Last year, it was reaching for devotion, remember? And we focused on reaching up and reaching out and reaching in, and we don't want that to end. But it's a new vision. That is our vision for 2020 or 2020. And the vision simply is seeing through God's eyes. That God has the desire for us to see as he sees. To see through his eyes. You know, church, the more I look at God's word and I hear it preached and taught and we meditate on it and converse about it, the more I'm seeing that God is a God of new things. Our God is a God of new things. And if you question that, go back to John chapter 3 and listen again to Jesus' discussion with a man named Nicodemus. Remember there, Nicodemus was struggling because Jesus was talking about this thing called a new birth. And he was struggling and he even asked, well, how can that happen again? I'm already born, Lord. How can I be born again? Jesus said, unless you're born of water and spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. A new birth, a new life. And our God at the very beginning is a God of new things. Aren't you glad of that, church? I am. A new birth. Listen, we have a new day today, don't we? He's given you and I a new week. He's given us a new month. He's given us a new year. God is a God. Our God, who we worship today and celebrate, is a God of new things. You know, not only the only, let me back up, the only 2020 vision, okay? The only 2020 vision we all understand is God's vision. God is the only one who sees all things. God is the only one who understands all things and knows all things. Perfect vision, right? That he is able to see past, that he is able to see the present, that he's able to see the future all at once. That there is no knowledge, that there is no existence that isn't before him. You know, last week we touched briefly on the closing of the books, right? As the new year begins, we close out the books in our businesses, our checkbooks, our tax books, we close it all out. And we said, God has a book too. And all of our lives this year and every day are written in that book. Whatever we think, whatever we say, whatever we do. And it's all written, and the day will come when those books will close as well. They have closed on a new year, and they have opened another chapter to another year. And remember, we noted that in Psalm 139, verse 7, the psalmist said, "But where could we go from your spirit, Lord? Or where can I flee from your presence?" He mentions heaven. He mentions the remotest part of the sea. He will say, you know what? Even light and darkness are alike to you. And then he'll talk about this, that God somehow, you know, you were there, you wove me intricately in my mother's womb. You have perfect vision. You see it all. You know, I was thinking about our phones and how we have access to the entire world. Not wrong. It's not wrong. I'm not saying this to say that it's wrong. We all know that our eyes are open to see the world, the good and the bad. But I got to thinking, you know, just like that, God, his eyes are open to see everything. For as a matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, the Hebrew writer will literally say, there is no creature hidden from his sight. No creature. That there is nothing hidden from his sight, but that all things are open and laid bare, and the image and idea is of nakedness before God. Before the eyes of him, the Hebrew writer said, with whom we have to do. No creature is hidden from his sight. Although God is the only one with perfect vision, church, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to see as he sees. I believe God wants us to see as he sees. Now, we know we're limited there. Don't hear me wrong. We know we can't see it all. But there's some things we can see, and he wants us to see. For what was Jesus sent from heaven to planet Earth for? If it wasn't to see things that God wants the world to see. You say, well, it's to seek and to save the lost. How is that going to happen without knowing what God wants them to know and seeing what God wants them to see? To even know that they are lost. We know John would say that one of the reasons he came was to tell the world that, to explain the Father and his ways to this world. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. John then ends it by saying, but he has explained him. Jesus. He came to explain the ways and life and desires of God the Father. For what is the reason for this word, the written word in our hands? If it isn't to see some things that God wants us to see, it's the mind of God. We say, well, 2 Timothy 3, 1 Timothy, or excuse me, that in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, there's some things it's profitable for. It's inspired by God, right? In other words, it came from his mouth. It's profitable for reproof and correction and training in righteousness. So that the man of God can be adequate, equipped for every good work to see things God wants him to see. For what is the Holy Spirit for? In my life, in your life, as it dwells within us, as it convicts us, as we learn more and more and grow into God's very image. And he helps that. The Spirit helps that. And that it is a pledge of our inheritance to guarantee what God promised. And that's dwelling inside of you and I. And if God doesn't want us to see as he sees, then what are we for? What is the church for? What are you and I here for on this earth? I submit to all of us that one of the reasons we are here today is because God wants each one of us in our little lives. Each one of us as we go out into this world to help this messed up world to see more as God sees. Only God has that perfect vision, though. But we're going to look at some ways, and as we go throughout this year and look at this vision, seeing through God's eyes or seeing as God sees, that's what we want to focus on, seeing things the way God wants us to see. And if we're going to see things the way God wants us to see them, are we not going to have to be concerned with the things he's concerned with? If I'm gonna see as God sees, I've got to know what concerns God. Ron did a good job in his class of showing some of those things. The value of a soul, right? The heart that God desires. You know, I don't agree with everything, and this obviously is an obvious thing because none of us agree with what other people say, not everything that they say. I don't agree with everything Philip Yancey has ever said, but I know he said some really good things, and here's one of them, and I think he's right. We are more concerned with how things turn out. You know this is true. We are more concerned with how things turn out, but God is more concerned with how we turn out. Is that not true? The heart. The internal things. We see the flesh, we see the physical, we see the external side of things. God sees the soul. We call this the spiritual side of us, right? And we're to see that too. We know how easy it is to get caught up in investing in everything in the external realm in this world. We see and understand what it means to be caught up in building up the external part of this world and even our very own bodies, especially this time of year. Right? I read that Americans spend an average of, I couldn't believe this, $2.6 billion on gym memberships. And some of us are part of that fee, right? I am. It's good. I'm not here to bash that at all. I encourage you to take care of your bodies that God gave you to use for his service. But $2.6 billion. I actually went in to renew my membership this week. And as I was getting ready to pay, the lady said, you know what? Somebody already paid it for you. And I couldn't believe it. You know what? And I'll be honest with you. I have no idea who did it. I don't know if it's somebody that knows me well or somebody that just met me. I don't know who it was, but I'll tell you what, I hope that God blesses that generosity and kindness of that person or those people. But you know what? Speaking of the body and how we discipline our bodies, Paul will even say, for bodily discipline is of little profit. But there's a greater thing here, right? Seeing as God sees. Paul will call it and say it to Timothy that it's godliness, that it is profitable, notice, for all things, since it holds promise for the present life, but he says also the life to come. There is a greater return in that investment. Now, let me clarify, Paul is not talking about gym membership fees, okay? He's not talking about pumping iron or whatever you like to do to stay fit. But he is talking about disciplining your body. And as Christians, we are to be a disciplined people. I believe that it was of the backdrop of the background of the problem of asceticism in that day, which got carried away and denied the physical body of everything. Every natural thing, food, the natural, healthy sexual desires that God has placed within us. And they were denying these things so much so that it was affecting those people. Paul says, you know what? Discipline of the body is of some good little profit, but godliness is greater. It's the greater issue. It's the greater thing. The soul takes precedence over the body always. You know, go to 3 John. Believe it or not, this lesson is going to be a short lesson. I should hear an amen. I should hear somebody say that's good news. But in 3 John, I think John says it so well as he writes, remember, as to Gaius. And listen to the sentiment, okay? Think of the lesser to the greater, okay? But he addresses both. He says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, verse 2, he says, I pray that in all respects you may prosper. Isn't that wonderful? Not just spiritually. I want you to prosper. Notice he says, and to be in good health. Just as your soul prospers. There's the greater. For I was very glad when brethren came to me and they testified or told me, testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. You were walking faithfully in godliness, right? He says, I have no greater joy than this to hear that my children are walking in truth. And I don't believe those were, we don't believe those were biological children. This is his spiritual children. That they are investing in the right things. That's godliness as well. Clearly, we know from Scripture what God is concerned with, and it is the spiritual things over the flesh, over the physical things of this life and world. I want you to turn to Romans 8. It's been said several different ways this morning, and I appreciate everything that has been said about where our focus needs to be. And it's right. It needs to be on Jesus. Our minds need to be on God. And that's what chapter 8 actually is about, I believe. As Paul writes to the church at Rome. When you go back to chapter 7, remember there was the constant preoccupation of Paul in chapter 7 is the law. But the law had limits, right? And we know that. The law was weak, and so you get to chapter 8, and you see the great contrast between the weakness of the law and the power of the Spirit. And that's what he's covering, and that's why when you look at starting in verse 5, and when you get a chance, go back and read chapter 8, verse 1, all the way to 25, and write down every time you see the word Spirit. Actually, go through all of chapter 8, and write down every time you see the word Spirit. You're going to write it a lot. Paul says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And how are we going to set our minds on the Spirit without knowing what the Spirit has said? We have the very Spirit's words that give us the wisdom of God, that help us to see as God sees. And when we set our mind on that Spirit, he says it's life and peace. Verse 7, because the mindset of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So there you have it. You know what it really comes down to? Where we're investing. Where is the emphasis of our investment? I believe that we will see as God sees when we as a people and individuals invest in ourselves, the inside us, more than the outside us. The inside you and the inside me more than the outside me. That's my challenge. That's our challenge, isn't it? To see as God sees, to understand that spiritual investment and what God wants us to invest in, and not just what I want to invest in. You know, God will reveal through Paul, I believe, this spiritual investment concept for the greater profit for us in 2020, for this next year. And you know what? It's not in Amazon. It's not in anything like that. It's not in Adobe or whatever we invest in or other things we invest in. You get the point. It's to invest in spiritual matters. For Jesus himself will say, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He said all the other things are going to be taken care of, one way or the other. He said, you seek me first. You'll want to be here next week. I know this is kind of just an introduction to the new year, to see as God sees. But I encourage you to come here next week, because I'm going to share with you what I believe is the number one spiritual investment we can make in 2020. That is the lesson. Tyler, you got a song ready? We offer an invitation to anybody that needs to respond, might need prayers or encouragement, or ready to obey the gospel. And if that is your need today or your desire, or if you have any concerns you want to bring before the congregation, we open this opportunity up to you to come as we stand, as we sing the invitation song.